Well, yesterday on Capitol Hill, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus ended some of the suspense and finally revealed that health care bill we've all been talking about.
There are honest and principled differences among all of us working for reform, and this package may not represent all of our first choices.
So you can hear there that the sale for this bill definitely needs some work.
I think that by the time the Finance Committee votes on final passage for health care reform, there will be Republican support. No Republican has offered his or her support at this moment.
Well, next week, Baucus will try to convince at least a couple of those committee Republicans to swallow his health care bill. And he has an equally big job with liberal Democrats who are upset that the bill doesn't include universal health care and has no public option. So what is exactly in the Baucus bill? Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor for the Columbia Journalism Review and health care blogger for CJR.org, among other things, joins us now from Bethesda, Maryland. Trudy, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we've heard about co-ops. We've heard about lack of universal coverage in this bill. What are the nuts and bolts? What's really in the Baucus bill that's important?
Okay, I'll break it down very simply. The bill will require everybody, or just about everybody in the country, to carry health insurance. And that means that if you do not have Medicare or Medicaid or a policy from your employer, you will have to go out and buy yourself a policy. If you do not, there will be a penalty, and the penalty could be as much as $3,800. The penalty grades up depending on what your income is. In exchange for that, the insurance industry will be required to give everybody a policy, even if they're very sick. As we know, they have been excluding people who are sick from coverage for a long time. And they do that because people who are sick generate a lot of claims and cost them money. However, there's another caveat to this, that even though you will be able to buy a policy, that doesn't mean the policy will be affordable. In Chairman Baucus's bill, there will be something called age rating, and that's a jargon. And what it basically means is that people will pay older people will pay up to five times more for a policy than younger people. And so many experts consider that a proxy for looking at your medical condition anyway.
So it's not that they can't still make more money off of sicker people. Now age is just the substitute for sicker.
Exactly. That's what is likely to happen here.
So what you've described is kind of the grand bargain of this bill, which is insurance companies have to insure everybody. Everybody has to get insurance, but insurance companies can't keep you off the rolls and they can't drop you. And they have to abide by some more regulations too, right?
That's correct.
Well, there's some controversial parts of this bill. People might start hearing about what Baucus has described as a 13% limit. Explain what this means for consumers, how much of your income, if you have a limited income, you're going to be required to spend on your coverage.
Well, that gets to the affordability question, and nobody really knows exactly what that limit is going to be. There will be complicated formulas that will determine how much people at various income levels will be able to pay, and right now they're talking about 13%. That could change. There are many members in Congress who believe that this bill is very inadequate in the sense that it makes people pay a lot of income, they'll have a lot of out-of-pocket expenses. The bill does provide tax credits for people, individuals, and as well as tax credits for small businessmen to help them buy insurance. The big question, and the one for the public and everyone else to watch, is what will the level of those tax credits be, and will they be enough to pay for a policy? Senator Wyden was saying yesterday that he thinks that they probably aren't going to be enough. And what that means for the people who have to buy is that they're going to have to dig deep into their pocket to pay for the increasing cost of coverage.
And thanks, Trudy. And, you know, the House certainly thinks it's not enough. The House bill thinks that 13% of the maximum cost that consumers would have to pay, most consumers anyway, is way too high. They want it much lower. So that number is also, well, likely to change before we're done with this. Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor for the Columbia Journalism Review and healthcare blogger for CJR.org. Thanks for bringing us up to speed on the Baucus bill, which is just out. Well, I want to turn now to Dean Rosen, who was the chief healthcare lobbyist to the former Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. He's now a health care lobbyist in Washington for the firm Melman Vogel Castagnetti. This bill is now going to what's called a markup, where senators will sit around and pass a lot of paper. We're talking dozens, if not hundreds, of amendments in the Finance Committee, dozens of hours of debate, all in a packed committee room with a lot of late nights and a lot of sweat. Dean, you've been there through many of these long, late-night sausage-making sessions in the Finance Committee. Set the scene for us. What do the legislative aides and the senators have to look forward to here?
Well, Todd, as you said, I mean, it's a the bill, when it's finally produced, will be hundreds of pages. There'll be hundreds of changes considered in the form of amendments. And that takes a lot of work, both by the members of Congress and this next committee in particular, and by the staff. There'll be, as you said, probably hundreds of amendments, changes that will be filed and formally debated and voted on. Some of those will pass and change the bill. Some of those will not pass. There'll be a lot of negotiation over the details. Maybe Chairman Baucus will want to take something, maybe he won't.
And what how does this work? I mean, do you get two Baucus people, a Rockefeller person and a Grassley person, pull aside and say, look, we'll give you Amendment 1, 7, and 3, but you got to give us 24 and you got to give us 93?
Well, sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes, what happens is Chairman Baucus may see that he is willing to go along with the concept but doesn't like the details of the way it's drafted, so the staff will go huddle sometimes for hours and pass paper back and forth. And we can't forget also the special interests and other folks on the outside, not only individual people but employers, device manufacturers, drug companies, pharmaceuticals, insurers, and they all have lobbyists and advocates up there too, who are working on talking points and press statements and other things.
The lobbyists and the special interests get into the huddle with staff as they're negotiating amendments?
Well, they usually don't get into the huddle with staff, but they may send up over the transom their ideas and say, maybe if you changed it this way, it would hurt us less or help us more. So there's that interaction, too.
You can just see a lobbyist standing like sort of at the bottom of the two steps below the dais, passing paper up to senior staff for the chairman of the Finance Committee. It's a fascinating image. Dean, I want a war story from you. I know you've spent some really late nights in these markups, probably a lot of bad pizza and frustrating conversations. Give me a war story.
Well, there's definitely been a lot of bad pizza. I would say probably my highlight of my late nights was during the Medicare prescription drug bill back in 2003. The final negotiations were happening, and literally it was around the clock. My wife had to go out of town to be with her sister, who was delivering twins, and I had my six-year-old daughter. She slept for two straight nights on the couch of the Senate Majority Leader, while I helped the senators and congressmen and congresswomen and staff negotiate a final deal. I didn't tell my wife about that till a couple of years later.
I bet you didn't. Oh, she's a trooper. Your daughter raised in the throes of Senate negotiation and politics.
That's right. So it can be a lot of late nights, a lot of drafting of paper, and a lot of bleary-eyed staff eating a lot of bad pizza.
Bad pizza, bleary-eyed staff, probably a lot of frayed tempers before it's over, not to mention lobbyists and special interests passing paper over the transom, as Dean Rosen puts it. Dean Rosen is a former lead healthcare staffer to the former Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, who was a member of the Finance Committee, and a markup veteran. Dean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.